What's up, everyone? It's Roger and James here, Founders of the King of Podcasts. In this episode, we're going to be talking about all of the big news for the week. Kind of an odd week because I think with the Super Bowl and also the New York Toy Fair coming up, there wasn't a huge amount of news, but the big news really was Kingdom Hearts 3 was released. So we're going to be going our review in progress because obviously we're still playing through the game. So we're going to talk about that in a bit. We're also going to be talking about the LEGO 20th Anniversary Star Wars Collection that got announced at the German Toy Fair. We've also got some Dumbo merchandise, Spider-Man PS4 info on some new stuff. And also, I think that was about it. And oh, Galaxy's Edge, some tie-ins. But let's jump into the meat of this episode, which is going to be our Kingdom Hearts 3 review in progress. I am about 10 hours in. I'm just coming up to, I think, is the end of the Tangled world. So I've done I've done Toy Story, Hercules, a bit of Twilight Town, and obviously the Tangled one. Where are you up to as well on this one?
I'm just a little bit past you. I have finished Tangled. I've gone back to Twilight Town to kind of go after some collectibles that have unlocked since the last time I visited the town. And so, yeah, we're in about the same spot.
Yeah, had I not have sat down last night and I thought I did a couple of recordings where I went back into the old worlds and just sort of jumped in, it probably would be there. But this is the thing, isn't it? This is a massive game. So I think most people are coming in around about 30 to 40 hours, depending on how many hidden Mickeys you're trying to find and all the bits and pieces. So trying to get it done in a week, at 2 hours a night, that kind of pretty much what I've been averaging playing. And I'm really enjoying it. It's a massive step up from the remixes that I feel like, for me, coming in as someone that's played a lot of Kingdom Hearts in the last year and doesn't have the nostalgia because I'm playing the newer versions and that's my first run through, I don't have that nostalgia for it. But even I'm sitting there, the amount of times I'm just thinking, this thing looks gorgeous. This thing just looks amazing.
Yeah, the game looks fantastic. I mean, the Tangled level looked almost good enough to have come from the movie itself. The animation isn't quite as smooth as the movie, but it's still up there. The sound is almost the exact same. I think they got the voice actors back or people who sound very much like them. Since there is a Tangled TV series, I assume that they just got them to record while they were doing that. But yeah, it's fantastic. They did a great job with the game. I'm having a lot of fun with it. The story makes no sense at all, but whatever, it doesn't matter. It's a fun game to play. The combat is fluid. There's a lot to do. There's a lot of different little mini activities to do, some of which are great and some of which are
I was doing a dancing one in Tangled. That one
wasn't awful.
I was being a little thick for a while and couldn't quite work it out. I was just running around in circles going, why is this bar not going up? But
And then, no, the one in Tangled that got me was the birds.
Yeah.
Where you have to approach a little group of birds and you basically, Sora becomes a Disney princess for a moment and the birds follow him and you get him over to Rapunzel. And those birds just kept flying away because...
I didn't even do that. They kept running away and I just kept running and I just ran on. I'd never saw that bit. So I was trying to catch them and they kept flying away. And in the end, I just saw an alleyway and I ran down it and went down a hill and I think that was
I can't blame you. I did eventually do it, but I was definitely ready to start throwing controllers at that point. It was not
I probably did it in one. I don't think maybe 15-20 seconds. I kind of chased the other one, saw something and ran on and didn't really I probably was there for about 20-30 seconds. I didn't realize I was actually supposed to do something at that point. It's kind of this thing I think sometimes with the level design of and it was the same I found with one of the Toy Story area was at one point it wanted me to do something and I couldn't quite work out what it wanted me to do and I was running around and I pretty much had to go wait into every single room and the only reason I kind of the story picked up was because I must have ran through the zone which triggered the event because I literally was like, I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing here. It told me to go to this one place, go through the window of the baby store. I went through it. And from there, I just didn't. It just took me forever to work out. And things like that, which as a lot better than Kingdom Hearts 1. I remember roaming around. I had to play Kingdom Hearts 1 with a guide to tell me where to go. None of the other ones I've had to do that since. And I haven't needed it for Kingdom Hearts 3. But that there's been a little bit more exploration that I've needed to do in Kingdom Hearts 3 than I would have to do in the other ones.
Yeah, I haven't had to consult a guide. There have been a couple of points where I've had similar situations where it's kind of like I'm not exactly sure what I'm supposed to do here, but normally running around in circles figures it out, or I was able to figure it out eventually. Mm. Part of it, I think Toy Story, there's both, you're in a mall in the Toy Story one for most of it, and there's a game store, and there's also a toy store.
Yeah.
But I didn't realize there were two different stores for quite some time, and I was very confused because one of the photo missions is like take a picture of the display in the toy store. It says game store, but I was like, there's this display that you want isn't actually in the toy store. But like you said, this is nothing on the level of Kingdom Hearts 1. You can kind of fumble your way through it. I think the main issue in terms of like navigation isn't that you don't necessarily know where to go, or at least for me, it's not figuring out where to go so much as like by getting to where I'm supposed to go, I feel like I haven't actually seen everything on the map. Like there's so many branching paths. The maps are so big there that by the time I get to where I'm supposed to go, I'm kind of thinking, I feel like I should have seen more treasure chests. There should have been more offshoots. I must have missed all of these. So instead of having the Kingdom Hearts 1 of what do you want from me, you bloody game, Kingdom Hearts 3 is more like, no, slow down a little bit. I didn't actually mean to trigger this cutscene bit. I meant to go and find more stuff.
Well, I must admit, last night I went back to the Toy Story area just to have a look around. I wanted to film a little video in there, and it was the first time I kind of went back to an area. So there was no triggering of events. There was no story. Once you kind of triggered the enemies, they didn't really come back. But I was able to roam around quite freely, and everything was opened up. And actually I went and found a couple of the emblems and found a few extra chests I didn't find the first time. And it was actually quite easy to kind of go back and roam around that world. So I'm going to gather with the other ones. It's actually quite good because you can use the gummy ship and you can just transport straight there. So you don't have to do the horrible flying malarkey.
I actually like the gummy mission.
Okay, so let's get onto the gummy ship. So the gummy ship is a improvement over the last few games.
Yes.
I still think Kingdom Hearts 2 had a great gummy ship system compared. I hated the first one. It just feels quite a long way to get from one ship to the other. And obviously you end up doing a battle and all the rest of it. If they took the gummy ship away from Kingdom Hearts, I wouldn't miss it in the slightest. It's not my favorite part of the game. It's the thing I have to get through to get to where I want to go. It is kind of better the way they've kind of done it. It's open world, so you fly to where you want to go. So it's more of like real space, really. You mark your marker and you're going to fly there, and you can fly over things, through things. You want to avoid the bosses, you kind of can do, but yeah, it's okay. It's tolerable. And the fact that when you, like I said, you can bring open the world and you can then transport straight to the world straight away, that does make life a lot easier and a lot more fun.
Yeah, and see, I love space games. I love like the X-Wing games, and I'm playing a lot of Ace Combat as well, which is why I didn't get quite as far in Kingdom Hearts as I expected to, because I was kind of bouncing between the two. So I really enjoy the combination of just kind of flying around between the various cities or areas, whatever you want to call them, picking up collectibles, getting into combat missions, stuff like that. This is a gameplay I enjoy. However, having said that, if this disappeared, if there was a Kingdom Hearts 4 or a 3.5, or, you know, this isn't the end of the series. We haven't seen the end of the game, but I think we can definitively say this is not the end of the series. I would not miss the gummy ship missions. There are plenty of other games I can play to get this. But I also don't have that, I've got to get in the gummy ship. And it was that way in Kingdom Hearts 1. It wasn't a problem with the system. It was just so tedious. Always, you had to do the gummy mission every time you went through the level. Obviously, in 1.5, they did add the warping in, which was nice. Mm. But, like, if you played the original Kingdom Hearts 1 way back in the day, anytime you traveled anywhere, you were doing gummy ship.
Yeah.
So it's very much optional in this. Once you get to the area for the first time, you do have to unlock the area the first time. But if you're there and you enjoy the gummy ship missions, there's a lot to do with them. And if you don't enjoy them, you can skip them completely. And I think, not to go too much on tangent, that really is kind of the defining thing of this game, is other than, you know, the mainline story, going to each of the worlds and tracking down the Heartless and the Nobodies and the Council of Xehanorts or whatever. And,
yeah. Yeah.
Most of the game is completely optional. The gummy ships, the play and watch gallery, you know, the hunting down hidden Mickeys, hunting down treasure chests. You can go back to each of the worlds, like the Hercules world. If you went back to it, you could find little golden Hercules statues, which would give you stuff. But they're all optional. So the game can really be as long or as short as you want within reason. It's going to be 20 hours minimum, but you know, you can get so much more if you want to.
Yeah, I mean, I think looking at sort of on social media, most people that were like running for it, like saying about, you know, always a bit of a short game, coming up about 28, 29 hours, at which point people were going, well, on, that's a long game. And then they're going, you've not done this and you've not done that and you've not done this. So it's still a big hefty game, you know, but also it's not, I'm coming also from having completed Red Dead Redemption 2 and battling my way through Assassin's Creed Odyssey, this game actually is feeling quite nice in the fact that I feel like, well, I'm actually going to be able to get this game, enjoy it for a chunk, and then be done with it. Whereas those games were probably way too long. So I actually think 30, 40 hours is probably my sweet point for a game, because at that point, I'm starting to get tired of it. So, you know, 10 hours in, you know, and the minute you hit a new world, it's almost like, oh, it's like a new game again. It feels like each world feels almost like a separate game.
And that's what I love most about the Kingdom Hearts, the mainline series, and then some of the spin-offs too, is that you really have this like three-tiered story structure to it. You've got the overarching story, which is the one where when everyone says it doesn't make sense, that's the one we're talking about. There's the story of the game itself, which is Sora's specific quest for this game. And then each little world is their own story. So it's exactly like you're saying, where, all right, we went from the Toy Story world and now we're in the Tangled world, or we went back to the Hercules world, and each of them is their own little thing. And it feels like artificial kind of rest points where you just kind of do a mental reset real fast, as opposed to, say, God of War.
Yeah.
Which is still a great game, obviously. I'm not saying God of War is not a good game. It's just, it's one continuous narrative from start to end. And by the time you get to the end of it, you might kind of be like, all right, time for something else. Kingdom Hearts is longer, but it also takes longer to get to that point where, all right, I need to step back. I need to maybe play Assassin's Creed Odyssey or maybe even do something mindless. I'm going to go play Fortnite and listen to their concert or whatever, you know. So
it's that kind of, yeah, it's I'm really enjoying it. Obviously the all the flow motion stuff, I don't really use that too much, but the using weapons and using the big like the Toy Story big mallet, and it's a lot more fun. And then they've got these special moves which bring in the theme park stuff of, you know, Kali River Rapids, pirate ship, you know, Big Thunder Mountain, that, and you know, Toy Story Mania, they're all I love. The minute I hit that button and that thing blasts up, I have a blast. I love those. I think being a parks fan, I really appreciate all of that so much more than maybe, I think if you'd never been to the theme parks, that might be a bit lost on you.
I think even if you haven't been to the theme parks, you're at least aware of Disney World, so you kind of know where they're coming from. Two thoughts on those. One, I don't know why they didn't actually use the names of the rides. Like the Toy Story ride is like Blaster or something or other. It's like, just call it Buzz Lightyear's Astro Spinner or you know, whatever. But of the ones I've seen, it's interesting that some of them I'm kind of like, I don't actually want to do that one. And other ones I'm like, yes, these are, I absolutely want to do this. Like the pirate ship. which is interesting because it's like the Viking style pirate ship, which just goes spin up and down, you know, rocks back and forth until it's eventually doing full circles. Like, Disney doesn't actually have that ride. So when you're saying pirate ship, you're thinking Pirates of the Caribbean kind of thing, but that's more like the Cali River ride, where you actually, you know, kind of build a river ride and then ride it at the end, which is fun. I really enjoy these. There's so many custom trigger actions that you can do. It's not just that, like, your keyblades can turn into special, more powerful versions of themselves, and then you can do team up attacks with Donald and Goofy, or just Donald, or just Goofy, or Flynn, or Tangle, Hercules, and all sorts of stuff. And there's so many, so many of these triggered actions, the combat always feels a little bit different.
Yeah, it's a big improvement. I'm really, it is, you know, as far as I'm concerned and where I'm up to, it's easily the best Kingdom Hearts game I've played. It's Ion, and you know what, the thing that really actually, I'm playing this game and I'm thinking to myself and listening to some podcasts and people talking about Kingdom Hearts, and it's like, it feels like the story is actually putting people off playing an amazing Disney game. It's like they've made it so convoluted, so confusing, but at the same time, this game is so simple. But it's like they've completely just gone over the top and getting too caught up in this overarching story. And it's like, I know it's for Japanese audience because it sold amazingly well in Japan, and you know, it's massive over there because there's a massive Disney audience. But it's almost that thing of like, they've got so far down this rabbit hole of the storyline, and it's like, well, can you, if you brought this back and portrayed it in a simpler system, this thing could sell even better because it would just be a Disney video game, you know. And it's this kind of thing, you've got all these worlds and this, they're advertising it like such, but this storyline gets in the way because it's too confusing. It's too, I mean, I really do hope that maybe at the end of Kingdom Hearts 3 and we move onwards, that they simplify it a little bit. They get a, I know the diehard fans love it, but it's like, if you want this series to keep going on, I think they need to simplify it and make it a little bit less. So think of them jumping from world to world and they've got a main antagonist and they're jumping between the worlds, fine. But all the nobodies and the heartless and this person, and this person shows up and they're going, I don't know who this person is. I've got no idea. They all look the same.
They all look the same. They have very similar weird names too. Yeah. It's like, lots of V's, lots of X's, lots of just odd configurations. And it's, and it is, you know, it's an ongoing meme or joke or stereotype for this game to be like, it doesn't make any sense. But the thing is, it really doesn't. The story is so convoluted, so complex, so twisty and turny and backwards on itself, and there's time travel and there's characters possessing other characters and making copies of characters, and this character is that character's nobody and this character is that character's heartless. And it's just like, no, get all of it, just throw it aside, none of this matters, start over. So obviously we haven't finished Kingdom Hearts 3, we don't know where it ends up. It might be that there's a clean slate at the end of this, and I really hope there is.
Yeah, and the thing is, it's like, we're sitting here as full-blown adult males, sitting here going, we do not understand what's going on in a Disney video game. And we've played through 3 or 4 or 5 different Kingdom Hearts games in the past, and we still do not understand it. And it's like, if we don't understand it, how is a new 10-year-old kid sitting down watching this supposed to understand it?
Yeah, and I mean, it does include a little short video series right at the beginning, like what has happened previously in Kingdom Hearts, and it doesn't tell you squat. It doesn't introduce characters, less like, that character did this. I'm like, that's great. Who's that character? And then, you know, you pop into Kingdom Hearts 3 and one of the random Organization 13 members showed up and everyone's like, and you're like, wait, which one are you? I don't even know which one you are, and I don't know what your motives are. I don't know what's going on here. So, yeah, my recommendation on this game from a player perspective is enjoy the individual worlds, enjoy the journey of this game, but don't concern yourself with the overarching story. If you've already invested in the overarching story, if you've put the hours in, if you've watched the YouTube videos, if you've got the, you know, giant conspiracy theory flow chart kind of deal with the red twine and everything. Cool. Enjoy it. There's plenty for you to go on here. Yeah. We've only played 10 hours and
it's great.
I'm so lost on half of these characters. So, but
like I said, there was a meme of someone put up there, and it was, you know, the pictures of someone there with all the numbers and stuff, and going, this is what Xbox owners are like playing it. Because in theory, if you've only ever had an Xbox console in your life, you've gone into Kingdom Hearts 3, you've never played a single Kingdom Hearts game. And then you would just be like, yep, I never got a clue what's going on. And that's a bad, because this game is so, I'm really enjoying playing it, and Disney fans should really investigate it. Feels great, the taking on the actions. You've got all the, it's, you know, this is the biggest Disney console game we have for years, and it gets lost because of all this stuff that, in all honesty, I don't need to worry about, because I run through and I go, it's Disney characters, I'm in a Disney world, and that's what I love. And the kingdom and the whole other stuff, I couldn't really, I just don't care enough about, because I don't, and I'm, you know, sitting here as someone that's probably played 120 hours of Kingdom Hearts games in the past. I've got no idea what's going on, and that's not good. You wouldn't know it.
Go ahead. I was just thinking about it too. It's not just the story that doesn't make sense. In Kingdom Hearts 3, they've tried to integrate all the previous games into it in some way or another. I haven't seen how Chain of Memories kicks in yet, but like, you've got the summoning system from not Dream Drop Distance, the other one. One of the last DS games where, you know, you have, it's basically a Pokemon style game, and you collect dreams, and the dreams are creatures. And this is the first summon that you get in this game, or the Link that they call it. Yeah. And it's this giant fluffy balloon dog thing. And it's never explained what it is. It's just to summon as a Link, do this. I'm like, awesome, cool. If I had never played or seen that game, I'd be like, the heck is this thing?
You know what? I have never used it.
I used it once.
I forgot it was even there. And to me, I look at that animal. That was, I think it was Dream Drop Distance.
Was it? Yeah, actually, I think it was Dream Drop Distance.
Where they were bouncing around on. And in that game, it seemed to make a lot more sense. You needed it, whereas this game, I've never used it. So I'll be honest, maybe because I've got baby mode, because I just want to enjoy it. I'm not, I know some people want the expert heart modes and they really want the challenge from it. I don't from Kingdom Hearts. I just like playing it and enjoying it and not feeling, I don't mind feeling Sora being overpowered and being able to take them all out. And I don't want to die and redo the bosses over and over. I remember for that from Kingdom Hearts 1, I was just getting extremely frustrated. And yeah, I want to take on a boss and I do want to beat it first time. I'll just be honest, I'm in it for the enjoyment. I'm not in it for a challenge kind of thing. And you know, I play games now on easy mode because I like playing and enjoying it. I don't want to feel that challenge. As you're younger, you've got the time for, I don't have the time anymore to sit and redo a level multiple times. It's just, and that, if you talk to a lot of gamers of my age, we're all starting to slide into that thing. We're not so interested. Of some people still want to play hardcore, the hardest mode, they, you know, that's the way they do it. But that's not, I don't have that as someone with lots of other responsibilities.
No, I normally play on easy. This one I did kind of buck a little. I played normal. I haven't really noticed any problem playing that so far, but I played all the other ones on easy because I really was just kind of getting through those in preparation for Kingdom Hearts 3. Kingdom Hearts 3, I'm kind of more, I'm just going to sit back. I'm going to relax. I have no problem spending some time grinding out some levels, getting, you know, because I'm not under a time pressure for this one. I did not get a review code for this, which is fine, but that means I don't have to write a review. This is the only form of review I'm going to do for it, and I'm just going to be like, yeah, I'm just going to enjoy the game. I'm going to sit on my couch, I'm going to play, and I'm not going to worry about anything else. So, but yeah, most games I'm on easy. I'm not concerned at all with the challenge. I kind of want to just feel like a Superman kind of character. Just be like, I am taking over this entire world. You know, Sora and Donald and Goofy, we are the masters of this world. There is no Heartless that's going to block us.
yeah, it's like, and that's the thing. Sometimes that's what, again, it's what I like about it. It's what I'm looking forward to about with the upcoming new Crackdown 3, is that kind of super powered thing. And Sora does have that feeling of he massively overpowered. I mean, they make a joke about him, you know, being a hero and being a wimp. It's like, this guy's really kind of kicking butt here. He's kind of you're down. I mean, at the minute, it's like, you know, we're searching for this thing for him to be able to wake up. I don't know. It doesn't make any sense, but I'm really enjoying it. And it's that thing of, if you're on the fence for it, and it's this kind of weird thing of like, if you said to me now, of like, if you haven't played the other ones, should I get into it? It's like,
it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Just forget the story. It doesn't really matter. It's one of those things of, it doesn't make any sense, but we don't make any sense, and we've played the others. It's just like, yeah. It's such a fun game. It's still got that trappings of being what that original PlayStation 2 game was. They just keep upping the ante and they keep adding more stuff to it. So in some ways it has aged, it's showing its age compared to like modern games, but at the same time they have tweaked all the annoyances of the previous games and made it a lot more fluid.
Yeah, I mean, I think it says a lot that we can sit here and go, this game makes no sense at all, the story is rubbish, and still go, you should play this game.
Yeah,
it's so much fun. In terms of like combat, this is going to be an odd comparison, but bear with me. I would say it's a lot like, say, the Devil May Cry or Bayonetta series. Yeah. You know, the story is just kind of window dressing. It's what gets you from point A to point B. But it's got such an amazingly fluid combat series. It's got so many different things for you to do. You can just go in there and... Sorry. I was waiting for that.
Figure eight joined us.
they are fighting over the bed. But anyway, it's got such an amazing combat system. It's so much fun to just play and enjoy that I genuinely do recommend people go and play it. And if you really do want to get like a preview of it, if you haven't played Kingdom Hearts 1 or 2 or Dream Drop or 0.1 or 0.2 or whatever, go on YouTube, watch a 3-hour long video that says it explains Kingdom Hearts, but you'll come out more confused than you started. Skip that whole thing. Just play the game. Enjoy it. Don't worry about the story. Enjoy the story of the individual worlds, because they vary. You know, that we have the Tangled world, which is basically just a retelling of the story of Tangled with Sora and his gang tossed in there. But then you've also got Toy Story, which is a completely new story.
Yeah.
You know, almost no relation to any of the movies at all. And that's how it's been with the Kingdom Hearts games. So,
yeah. So what we, so like I said, at the moment, really enjoying it. We've still got, we've still got Pirates, Frozen,
Monsters,
Inc., Big Hero 6. So we've still got lots of worlds to come yet. So it'll probably be a couple of weeks' time that we will do a full review when we've kind of done all of the levels. But it was just that thing of, this game is going to take us a while to get through. So kind of wanted to break it down and give our thoughts so far on it. So I'm going to shift gears now. The only thing that really is annoying me a little bit with Square was there was supposed to be this VR experience that was supposed to be like a 10-minute long recap of everything that I really wanted to watch. And they released it in Japan, but they didn't release it in Europe or in America. And I have a VR, you know, I wanted to try it out. But nevertheless, let's skip now from Kingdom Hearts. Going to jump into a different video game. Sony added 2 new Fantastic Four outfits to the Spider-Man PS4 game. So I did jump in to play that just before Kingdom Hearts got released. So you will find 2 videos up on the YouTube channel of me playing as those 2 suits. They were nice. They were fun. They was free. Can't beat free. Did you jump back in for these or no?
I didn't, but I've seen them. I've seen them in action. I saw your videos. I saw some pictures from other people as well. They're good. I like the Future Foundation suit, which is the white and black one. I'm not fond of the eyes. They gave him a bug-eyed look, which, I mean, it's Spider-Man, so occasionally you're going to do something like that. And then there's his original Fantastic Four costume from way back in the 60s, which is literally him with a Fantastic Four jumpsuit and a bag over his head to conceal his identity, which is as ridiculous as it sounds. It's not as ridiculous as almost naked Spidey, which is in the base game, but you know, it's still up there. But hey, it's free. They're continuing to support the game. They have said that they're not going to do anything for Far From Home. Which is too bad, because I do like the new suit that we saw in the trailers, but I can't blame them for that. They've got to be putting the resources to Spider-Man 2 or whatever their next project is. So
yeah, this felt a little bit like, okay, we're going to drop a little DLC in here, a little bit of a spike to kind of show the game's done. The, you know, they're not adding any more to it. You know, we might get the odd surprise here and there, but to me, that felt like, okay, we want to tie it in and we want to give you something that's a little bit tied in, but it's free. You can't argue it's free. Okay, so skipping now from video games, we're going to jump into some other merchandise that got announced this week. So first off, let's talk about some Lego. So the cool thing with some Lego is they announced the 20th anniversary collection. So I'm just going to bring them up here. So they had five different sets announced. They haven't announced the release date. I'm guessing these are going to be coming probably after around April or onwards.
They're going to want them out before May the 4th. Yeah. So
the cool thing that with these ones is they all come with a special edition, special miniature figure that comes on this little display stand. You can see here, we've got Leia here standing on it. There's one in each of the five sets and they all get built together. So it's a great way of kind of making you buy all of them. But kicking off, first off, we have this Slave One. This is the most expensive one. This is about 120 pieces. Oh, sorry, $120, over $1,000. It looks okay. The problem is, I think I prefer the previous version, which was a bit bigger. I'm kind of in the zone now with these Lego ones where I kind of like the really big sets rather than the small ones. But that was the definitely one. If I was going to buy one, I'm going to buy that one and go big. Then we have the Snow Speeder, which is about $40, 300 pieces. And that comes with the Lando Special Edition. I kind of like that one. Again, I'm drawn to the big 160-pound one, but I can only afford so many at once.
Yeah, I'll just jump in real fast. The Snow Speeder has always been one of my favorite vehicles in Star Wars. I don't know why, but it has. So that's probably the one that I'm looking at.
Yeah. The Pod Racer, which I think is cool, $30. Comes with what looks to be Luke Skywalker as the main little figure, but also comes with a little Annie. I don't mind that. That's kind of quite cool that we've gone in and done that one. Clone Scout Walker, $30, 250 pieces. That comes with a little trooper, comes with Chewbacca, a scout trooper, one of the little Roger bots, and Darth Vader as the special figure, which I do. That's what's I prefer. The minifigure is the best thing out of the rest. I don't really like that set that much.
I'd have to agree.
Then you got the Imperial Dropship, which is only $20. Comes with Han Solo as a special figure. Comes with a Death Trooper and also three Stormtroopers. The actual vehicle is awful. I don't like that at all. I don't really see other the minifigures are the main thing. You got five cool minifigures, but yeah, I wasn't that impressed with that one as a whole.
Yeah, I have to agree. I normally go for like the spaceship kind of style ones. That one, not really for me. I think the only one out of the ones that they've announced would be the Snowspeeder, which I already mentioned.
Yeah, I think the thing is I like the big sets, and it's that kind of thing now. I know when I was building like the Han Solo or the big Millennium Falcon, it's like, yeah, I kind of like this more. Because when I brought the little sets, it's like, yeah, that's okay, but I actually do prefer the bigger vehicles, but they're obviously a bit more pricey. So I think I'm starting to wait now until I get like some discounts, because buying them at full price is a bit painful. But and especially when you know, within a few months they're usually 20-30% off. But yeah, you always look an eye out for offers. But these 20th edition sets, they're not overly ambitious. They were a little bit underwhelming. They weren't like blow your socks off with classic ships and stuff. Is it fit? I'm wondering if there's going to be some more coming down the line near Christmas.
See, that was kind of what I was thinking, because especially if you're doing like a 20th anniversary thing, having four or five sets really doesn't say 20th anniversary. You know, so I could definitely see a second wave of these, maybe dependent on how well these ones sell. But I do like that these are sets that aren't really represented in more recent years. Yeah, there was the super special Boba Fett, like the $300 set or whatever, but I don't think we've seen Slave One in a while. They had a a sand speeder, which was the tan version of the snow speeder, but we haven't really seen that one in a while. And then the other sets are very specific as well. So I could see them kind of dropping a couple more. I think I agree with you, maybe October-ish, September-ish, somewhere in that range, and another four or five sets of stuff that hasn't been represented recently.
And also, it like I said, we got episode 9. We've also got Clone Wars. We've got The Mandalorian. It depends if they're tying in some bits and pieces of all of this stuff later. There's a lot of Star Wars stuff coming later on. So keeping with Star Wars, there were some other announcements this past week of tons of books and comic books to tie in with the upcoming Star Wars Galaxy's Edge themed areas, which are coming to Disneyland and Disney's Hollywood Studios over in Walt Disney World later this year. They announced tons of books. They're trying to kind of expand out the world universe a little bit for that one, which is not a bad thing. You know, they definitely want to kind of do that. So a couple of different things. So first off, we've got a new comic book series, which is coming out in April, which kind of looks all right. We don't really know too much about it. Probably something I will read. Black Spire, coming out in September the 3rd, which is all about going to Batuu, the new planet, and seeing what's going on in that one. Galaxy's Edge, there's a new adult novel.
Young adult novel.
A Crash of Fate. And then we have Myths and Fables, which is a graphic novel all about Batuu and what's on the planet, etc. And there's also going to be some other bits and pieces. Nothing what I would call earth-shatteringly amazing. It helps fill out the backstory a little bit, but it always feels a bit sometimes to me like with this is like that you're trying to make something that you've built and then trying to retrofit it in afterwards rather than kind of original kind of plays.
Yeah, I mean, this all kind of feels a bit fluff. I doubt any of it will be particularly important to the park, but it's fun for if you want to know about it. They've got some good talent lined up on there. I think the woman who was writing the novel, not the young adult one, but like the actual novel, she's done some very good work. So, and they've already visited this planet once. It showed up in the Thrawn Alliance's book. It was a main portion of that. So they've been kind of laying the groundwork for a while. I'm going to check out several of these, mostly because I am a Star Wars lore nerd, although less so in the last couple of years. But yeah, I mean, it's all, I'm not expecting anything earth-shattering or super important either to Galaxy's Edge or to the Star Wars canon in general. But if we can get some good stories out of them, that's good enough for me.
Yeah, I mean, the novel, I'll be honest, if it was, I'm looking to have a beach holiday in September, so I'm going to need some books. And so I always have books. So that one, Spiral, is probably going to be on my list to read. So I could very easily be sat on the beach reading that one in the winter. And that's cool. I read a few books a year on holiday when I'm sat on the beach, and that's definitely going to be on my list to do it as well as one of the most recent Thrawn book. That's definitely going there. Nice to see them tying into it. The comic book will be definitely the thing I'll probably check out the first bit. The young adult book and the graphic novel I probably won't bother with, but the novel and the comic book will be the two that I'll fire up.
I think it'll depend on if I have anything else to read at that time when the young adult, the graphic novel one, I'll wait and see, because that could go in any number of directions, and most of those directions aren't necessarily positive, but we'll see. We'll get more information closer to release and we can make a better decision at that point.
Yeah, okay. And now on to our final kind of thing from Dumbo, the new live-action version, comes out in March. And as you would expect, you know, 2 months beforehand, we start seeing some of the merchandise being released. And Disney this week released, I would say, a kind of a feeble attempt, really. We kind of got a number of different things. We got a pin set. We got a journal. We got a mug. We got a bag. We got some stationery, a T-shirt, a pendant, some weird circus T-shirt, and also Funko also announced some Funko Pop vinyls, Fireman Dumbo, Dreamland Dumbo. And I'm going to be honest, really was not that blown away with what I saw from this. It was very, like, we are putting in the least amount of effort we can because we don't know if merchandise is going to sell because we don't know how to. This feels classic Disney of, we've got something coming out and we would love to do more merchandise, but we're not entirely 100% certain that this is going to be a big hit, so we don't want to spend any money on it.
It's an odd design. I agree with you on that. This has been the Disney modus operandi for the last couple of years, is we'll wait until the movie comes out to determine if it's popular enough for us to put merchandise into it. And that's resulted in stuff like the one that I've harped a lot on, which was Zootopia, just not having anything despite being a very popular movie. I know they just announced two sequels, but you know.
Well, we're getting sequels and there's a new themed area coming to Shanghai.
Right. So it did, but it,
because I'm going there this year and it's not going to be there.
I mean, if we stopped going to Disney just to wait for the new parks to open, we would never go because they're always changing stuff. Back to Dumbo. What I find interesting about these designs are they're going for like a very, not even retro, we're talking like pre-retro. This is a very 1900s, 1910 style, like promotional artwork for an actual traveling circus, which makes sense for the movie. But it's kind of like a, what are you aiming for here? Because this is the new movie in 2019, and you're going with something that'd be more appropriate for the animated movie. And I don't know, it's kind of, it's just awkward.
Yeah, to me it looks along the lines of they don't feel they can make any money from the new look. The new look, he just looks like an elephant with big ears. And the classic, they know they will make more money on classic Dumbo merchandise, and because that's what people remember. This, I'm not feeling this Dumbo reboot anyway. And looking at the reaction I've had when I put up stories about Dumbo stuff, there's not been a strong reaction. You know, when the trailer broke, you know, when I think like the new Lion King remake, as that just blew up and people were excited about it and they were talking about the trailer and the trailer was trending, and Dumbo didn't. Dumbo has had, there's no movement. I know when I post stories on or any content on Dumbo, it doesn't have any reaction at all. And I'm seeing that in my analytics. So, and I can see the difference between that and Beauty and the Beast and the Lion King. I can see a big difference. And, you know, it sometimes when I can tell with, like, it's the same thing of with things like Wrinkle in Time and Nutcracker, I get to see, I can almost feel when they're going to underwhelm because I'm seeing the reaction from the people in the same way of when you're looking at people's reactions, social media, just the, how people react to your stories, how people are reacting to the trailers, how people are talking about it. You can feel it sometimes before the movies even come out.
Yeah, no question. And I'm wondering if a large part of this might also be, you know, while many of us grew up with the Disney classics like Dumbo, Pinocchio, Cinderella, and so on, the people going to the live action movies now or taking their kids to the live action movies now have a bigger connection with stuff like Beauty and the Beast or Lion King. Cause even though, yes, I grew up watching the classics, the ones that came out while I was growing up, Little Mermaid, Aladdin, Beauty and the Beast, Lion King, even up to like Mulan, I have a much stronger connection to those. And I think we are in that basic demographic that are going to be going to these movies because we're going to want to share that experience that we had, the going to the Lion King, seeing Mufasa, seeing Simba grow up and all that stuff, and bringing our kids to share that experience. And that's a much different experience than going to Cinderella where it's like, oh yeah, that was the movie that I watched at my grandmother's place. And now, you know, with the big giant VHS tapes and everything like that. So even though we grew up with both of them, there's a much different emotional connection to them.
Yeah, it's just like I say, you know, we're not seeing a lot of other merchandise for Dumbo, and it just feels like they know them. They know what they're doing. They know they're getting feedback off of people when these trailers break and when they, you know, they're doing research, they're monitoring to see what's going on. This very much feels very safe. So who knows, but obviously Dumbo is a few months away. We might see a bit more coming up with New York Toy Fair, but generally Disney doesn't tend to go too mad on that. It tends to be the Marvel and the Star Wars stuff. So expecting a lot more bits and pieces coming up with that coming up, and then other bits and pieces, etc. We've also got the financial results, so this should be a bit busier next week. But let us know in the comments below what you've been thinking of Kingdom Hearts 3. If you've been playing it, I'd love to know your thoughts. Go check us out on YouTube. Make sure you subscribe there. Make sure you also subscribe on the audio platforms as well. And you can find us on social media. James, where can they find you?
You can find me at heroiclegacy.com.
And on that, guys, thank you very much for joining in this episode. We'll be back soon. Laters.